From what he said, I thought it might be Parganese. We looked and found boats hidden along the river, so I remembered what Poxenarian had said and rousted out my grange. "And then came storming into mine," said Barris. "I told him I didn't have many fit to fight, but I came along." "And we've come too late, I see," said Pellion, looking around. "Not so," said the king. "We cannot stay and deal with the Parganese."
"I told you!"
Pellion thumped Barris on the shoulder. "I knew those tur-damned scum would be in this."
"Or the Verikai," the king went on. "We must be on the road to Leonia. Your arrival gives High Marshal Seklus and Sir Amelin enough troops to take care of this."
Pellion scratched his ear. "Well, Sir King, it's good to know we didn't have this long march for nothing. But I should tell you that some of these are Leonians who left Leonia for fear of war."
The king smiled. "And so you showed them that trouble follows those who flee it? Well done, Marshal. When you have them schooled to your liking, then send them home if they wish to go."
"You don't want to take them with you?"
The king let his eyes rove along the ranks, then pursed his lips. "No, I don't think so. Those in my party are proven fighters. Those who awaited events in Leonia have shown steadfastness. These I leave to your care. You know best what they need." For the rest of that day, the king's party rested before traveling. Those who had been killed were laid to rest with due ceremony. The enemy's dead was piled and burned. Under the marshal's directions, the yeomen took control of the Parganese and Verikai prisoners, containing them at a distance from the king's encampment. The horses of Doran's cohort were found still waiting at the ridge top to the east, penned, as Pox explained it, by the Taig. Doran looked at her oddly, but said nothing more about it. In the morning, they set out for Leonia again. Pox rode beside the king, at his request. With no pack train to slow them down, they made good time, and rode into Harway just at dark, where the Leonian guard waited in formation to greet him. Bonfires flared as the king came into his own land. Candles burned at every window, and torchbearers lined the streets. Both marshal and captain came to bow before him. Pox saw distant fires spring to life, carrying the news across the darkness. The king said little. Courteous words for those who greeted him, but nothing more. Pox saw tears glisten on his cheeks in the firelight. They stayed that night in Harway, the king at the royal armory and Pox at the Grange, to ease the marshal's memory of her earlier visit. By the time the king's party reached Chea, the last snow had melted away, filling the rivers with laughing water. "An early spring," said the king, looking at the first flowering trees glimmering through the wood. "I feel the forest rejoicing."
"Do you?"
Amrothlin, who had come to meet him, smiled. "That is well. Both the rejoicing of the forest and your feeling it. Your elven senses wake. You feel the Taig singing you home, and your response calls forth more song. So the season answers your desire." The king looked across green meadows, to the towering trees that made the palace seem small, a child's toy. Tears glittered in his eyes. "So beautiful. They almost break the heart."
"This is the heart knot of the joining of elvenkind and man," said Amrothlin. "We put what we could of our elven home kingdom in it. Be welcome, Sir King, in your kingdom."
Between them and the city, a crowd was gathering, pouring out of the city in bright chips of color like pebbles from a sack. The king's party rode through a broad